always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
They play really bleeping hard, and they play with purpose, and they get up in passing lanes, and they turn you over, and they get out and run. They get out and run on makes. They get out and run on misses, and wouldn't you know it, they ran the Lakers right out of their own gym. So, like JJ Redick said after the game, that a lot of these losses have a lot in common or whatever. I forget what phrasing he actually used. And it's like, yeah, all right, fine. They all have a lot in common. You know what else they have in common is the fact that apparently after none of these games, you're adjusting to the thing that all of these games, these blowout losses have in common. And you basically are hoping that the Lakers, that the guys that you play execute or care at a level above what they normally do. It's just, I'm sick of having the same conversation after this same exact game, loss in, loss out. I got to talk about the starters, and it's just brutal to watch. All right, so I would argue only Luka and Ayton are playing in their natural position in their starting in the starting five, and by that I mean obviously Luka is the team's best player. And the offense is built around him. And especially in the first quarter, he's allowed to basically set a tone for himself by way of scoring that they're hoping trickles down to the rest of the team. I don't love the approach, but whatever, that's the approach that they have gone with. My point here being that he's the only guy who I would say looks incredibly comfortable, incredibly confident right from the onset of the game, because he knows exactly or he knows that he is equipped to do exactly what the Lakers are asking him to do. I would say the same thing about DeAndre Ayton because he is a center and he is being asked to be a center. And there you are. Outside of that, though, Rui, I would say playing out of position, he's been like, I saw him at various points tonight trying to guard De'Aaron Fox and Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle, and he had no hope whatsoever in guarding any of those guys. And then on top of it, they were like, well, that didn't work. How about you go try to be like a small ball center slash bigger power forward or whatever when the Lakers went really small, and he grabbed one rebound. So Rui, I would argue, isn't playing at a natural position in the starting five. LeBron obviously isn't playing in a natural position because Luka has the ball to the extent that he does. So LeBron is trying to learn on the fly how to play that role as well. And then you have Austin is your fifth starter there, not your fifth starter, but the fifth guy that I'll mention here in that starting lineup. And he's playing out of position because he's being asked to guard the other team's best perimeter player while he's also being asked like, hey man, can you like keep your scoring up in that like 25 to 28 range that you've been scoring at so far this season? You realize how insane it is to ask a dude making $14 million a year or $14 million this year, hey, can you go out and be like a top five scorer in the league and then also go out and defend the other team's best perimeter player? Like, nobody does that. No top five scorer in the league goes out there and has the defensive responsibilities that Austin Reeves also has. And it's just like, it's just crazy to me that we just keep on banging our heads up against this stone wall, these like jagged stone walls that, you know, cut us and all this shit. It's just so frustrating to watch that starting five because outside of Luka and Ayton, nobody looks all that comfortable with what they're trying to do. And then, you know, you look at the bench and in comes Marcus Smart. Well, because Marcus Smart is subbing in, that, like I've said all season, means that Jared Vanderbilt can't play in that lineup too. Well, J.J. Redick also feels the need to give Gabe Vincent all kinds of minutes as well. Well, that means he's going to be playing alongside Marcus Smart, which means now you're slow and small. And Gabe Vincent isn't spacing the floor through practical spacing either. So now your bench struggles. The bench got ran off of the court in this one as well. The rotation just doesn't make enough practical sense. That's what I'm getting at. And I'll get to, I promise. I know that there are people like licking their lips, hoping that or waiting for me to like rip Austin a new one. And I will, I promise. But to me, the much larger problem here than Austin Reeves is the fact that the Lakers head coach and their coaching staff continue to be so religiously committed to spacing that they just night in, night out, give up such a clear advantage as athleticism in a sport where athleticism and length and physicality really do matter. All right, let's talk about Austin. And I said it in yesterday's show, and I'll say it again. It is really weird to me that a significant portion of this fan base sits here and waits for games like these. Now, what I will say is I will never sit here and wait for Austin to play poorly so that I can make a point. What I will say, though, is that the Lakers look their worst when Austin also looks his worst. And because like night in, night out, Luka is such a special player that like Luka is never going to look that bad. And he's certainly never going to look as bad as Austin does as frequently as Austin does. So like, I'm never really all that worried about like Luka getting his or Luka looking right. And the impact that would have on the Lakers. Look, if Luka doesn't have it, then the Lakers just have zero chance. But I would also argue that Austin's play has as notable an impact on the caliber of basketball that the Lakers are capable of playing. And because of that, it becomes that much more important to me that the Lakers optimize and maximize Austin's fit when he's out there on the court. And I just don't think that this starting lineup does that. Now, I would also say that this is, you know, another game against length and athleticism and physicality that Austin looks bad in. This is, you know, two of his last three games, I would say. Because he didn't play very well against Boston. Now, those circumstances were so fucked that it's hard for me to hold that against him. But all right, if you want to say that, like, just in terms of efficiency, that Austin wasn't like he was thoroughly outplayed by Jaylen Brown, then like that's fine. But then he followed that up with the game against Philadelphia, and the excuse coming off of that one was, well, this is his third game in four nights, and one of those games or a couple of those games they didn't have Luka, and one of those games they didn't have LeBron, and one of those games they didn't have both of those guys. And maybe Austin is just tired. But like end of the day, Austin played poorly in a couple of those games. And it is worth pointing out that like if another team is able to keep length and athleticism on Austin, it does bother him. Especially, I thought the refereeing in this one, I'm not going to whine about refereeing. I thought the refereeing in this one was kind of one-sided in that like Stephon Castle, every time he fell, got a foul, and you had like multiple Lakers getting hit in the face and the referees were like, well, I don't know. But like, I'm not saying that was the reason that they lost. I'm just, you know, pointing out, you could just look at the free throw totals, but I just thought that like in this one and in the other games that Austin has looked bad in, I think it's like the games that Austin is always going to look worst in are the ones where he is asked to defend. Like if the other team has a quick point guard that Austin is asked to chase around, right? So like Philly has Tyrese Maxey and Austin is chasing him around and then also being asked to do stuff on offense. I just don't think that is a very fair ask of anybody. And then tonight, right, he's guarding at any given point De'Aaron Fox or Stephon Castle or Dylan Harper. And then on top of that, being asked to create stuff on offense. And I just don't think basically anybody has the motor to do that. And now I also think that Austin himself thought himself through some possessions in weird ways, made some really weird choices, didn't shoot the ball well in the opportunities that he did get, didn't finish well at the rim. And let me see how many free throws he shot. Did he shoot any? He shot one free throw on the night. So like it was a bad Austin game. And to me, you know, more importantly than getting on Austin for playing a bad game, to me, the more important point here is like, how do you avoid these bad Austin games? Because when Austin plays this poorly, the Lakers basically have no chance whatsoever, no matter who they play. So to me, it's like, all right, how do you avoid this from happening moving forward? And to those of you who were saying like, we'll just trade him, just get him out of here, all this stuff, fuck that. I'm not going to trade Austin Reeves before I try to figure out a way to make this work to a better extent. But to me, I would try to find a way with Austin to get a better point of attack defender there so that his legs aren't fully used on chasing Tyrese Maxey or chasing these Spurs guards or chasing Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or chasing Jamal Murray or chasing, you know, whatever. Eventually, like if the Lakers play the Detroit Pistons, he'll be asked to guard Cade Cunningham. When the Lakers play the Phoenix Suns, he'll be asked to guard Devin Booker. Like the things that Austin is being asked to do, I always come back to this. The thing that like the guy behind me back there, Kobe, the thing that made him special to me in his absolute prime at the peak of his powers was the fact that he was an offensive engine. And then he was also capable of guarding the other team's best perimeter player. You know how many players in the history of the sport have existed who you could say that about? It's like Michael, Kobe, LeBron. End of list. Unless you guys can think of somebody else. And I'm sorry, like, you know, no offense to Austin. He's not prime Kobe. He's not prime Michael. He's not prime LeBron. He's this, you know, he's not. Like he, you know, and the people like the Lakers fans who are constantly in my mentions screaming at me about how bad Austin Reeves is because he's not Kobe or because he's not Michael or because he's not LeBron, feel like you're kind of missing the point here. You know, like feel like you're kind of you're I understand the point that you're making. And like, I get it, by the way. I understand why Lakers fans are freaking out about Austin not playing up to the level that he needs to play at in some of these games against these kinds of opponents. I understand it because the Lakers are not a good basketball team when Austin isn't playing at his highest level. Where I think our takes diverge is where you're telling me, fuck this guy, get him off of the team. And I'm like, can we try to make it work with the hyper-efficient dude? Can we just try it? Can we give it a go? Can we get a defensive presence on the perimeter who allows Austin to focus on being the secondary or primary or tertiary offensive weapon that he can be at any given moment? Can we give that a shot before we just trade this guy? Like, I had some of you guys telling me that they needed to trade him for a backup center this offseason. Those takes are crazy. And it's like, all right, like I'm seeing Danny Y2Ye, he struggles to win games. The Lakers have won 17 games so far this season. Out of the 23 that they have played, I think Austin's played a role in winning some of those games. It's annoying. It's annoying how quickly, like, and this, by the way, this is a thing that, like, is just a part now, I guess, of online fandom, where, like, people plant their flag on a take and they ignore any and all data about the take. They ignore any and all context under which their take is given, because what matters most is being right. So, like, if you were out on Austin coming into the season, fuck the numbers he's putting together, fuck the season he's having so far. At the end of the day, all that matters is that, like, you're right. And if somehow the Lakers win a championship and Austin plays a key role in winning that championship, you're not going to celebrate, because it meant that you were wrong. Like, that's the end game of that stance, right? And to me, it's like, all right, to me, this year, this basketball season, to me, is about figuring out, can you win a championship with a full year of building your roster around Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves as the centerpieces of your offense moving forward? And if you cannot at the end of this year, then okay, sign and trade after the season, or sign him to whatever extension or whatever new contract that he signs. It'll still be, I would say, the kind of contract that other teams would want to have him at, and trade him next year while he's on that contract. Fine. If that's how this plays out, fine. That's how this plays out. But like, what I don't want to do is trade him before we get any kind of data. Right now, we have zero data on what Luka and Austin are capable of with a starting five that makes any basketball sense whatsoever. We have none. There is no, so long as Rui is also in that starting five, and so long as JJ Redick doesn't trust Marcus Smart to knock down three pointers or stay healthy enough to be inserted in that starting five, I would argue that we don't have enough any data on what a Lakers team truly built around Austin Reeves and Luka might possibly look like. We don't. We just do not. And maybe that's how this plays out because of the parameters that the front office is working with, right? Where they don't want to give the draft capital that it would cost to bring in the kind of player who might complete that starting five, because they're waiting and hoping for Giannis. But to this point, it's hard for me to say that, like, the problems with the Lakers starting five is the guy who's averaging like 26 points a night on hyper efficiency. Like, it's hard for me to get there. It is. And people are going to say, like, you know, you're ignoring his flaws. I'm really not. I know what his flaws are. He's not the fastest player on the court. He really struggles with lateral mobility when it comes to staying in front of guys defensively. You know, he really struggles when the referees don't, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt, and stronger and longer and more athletic defenders are allowed to be more physical with him. That bothers Austin Reeves. Like, all of that stuff is true. Like, I'm not blind to the player that Austin Reeves is right now, but I'm also going to be very aware of the things that he does bring to the table. And I'm also going to be very aware of what I think an offense with Luka and LeBron and Austin could possibly be capable of if they were given more opportunities and stops. But they are never going to get those opportunities and stops when Rui is the fifth starter. Like there is no high motor defender in that starting lineup. No NBA champion has ever, like, there is no NBA team has ever won a championship with zero high motor defenders in their starting lineup ever. It's never happened. It's just not been a thing ever. The closest you could maybe get, if you want to say it, is like the Showtime Lakers, but like their first sub in a lot of those games was Michael Cooper. And also, like, they played so fast. Like they got after it to an extent defensively that allowed themselves to get out there and play. So, like, inherently speaking, they played at a high enough level defensively that enabled their Showtime style basketball. So it's like hard to say that like they didn't have any motor defensively because they needed to get those stops to get out and run. Outside of that, though, every other NBA champion in the history of the sport has had at least one, two, probably multiple high level or high motor defenders. And the Lakers right now have none in their starting lineup. None. There isn't a single high motor defender in that group. And until that changes, like, this is all like, it's going to allow everybody to make whatever point that they feel like they want to make about the Lakers and why the Lakers are flawed or why the Lakers are falling short of their expectations. Like, at the end of the day, like, pick your poison there, pick your take. It's a Rorschach take, like, as I have always said that the Lakers are. But reality is, like, the problem that the Lakers have is that there are zero high motor players in that starting group. And if they aren't knocking down every single shot and keeping teams out of transition by way of extreme high level effectiveness and efficiency and execution, then the Lakers are just they're going to get run off of the court. And that's what's happened in all of their losses to this point. Austin Reeves plays a role in that, but so does every other player in that group.